Welcome to the Philharmonia Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:38 Irish Summer Time. Today is September 19th. Well, following last night's fireworks in the US with the Fed's rate cut, today saw some pretty exciting moves right across Asia and into Europe. I was up early with my daughter last night, and I saw the Hang Seng opening up almost 1,000 points. It closed up almost 4%. The Nikkei was up 3.67%. The ASX in Australia up 2.64%. India also had a fantastic day today. I think I did an interview at CNBC this morning, and they were saying that it was the second biggest move on the Sensex ever. So that is a massive reaffirmation of the uptrend, the secular uptrend in India, and I think we can certainly give the benefit of the doubt to the upside there. Looking right across Europe, the FTSE was up 2.81%, and some of the better performers were the IBEX, the DAX, the CAC, and the OMX in Sweden, all up in excess of 3%. And that is a direct follow-through from the very, very positive action we saw yesterday on the Wall Street indices. The S&P has broken well above 1,500. It's at 1,529 today. That's up 9. And that's a really impressive performance given that you had that big upper dynamic yesterday. And even some follow-through in here today. I don't think anyone was particularly expecting it to have a repeat of yesterday's performance. And personally, I was relatively surprised that it was able to hold onto its gain quite as well as it did. In fact, it had been up. It had been up more than it has closed at. But Morgan Stanley's results were a little bit worse than expected, and that pulled the market back a little bit towards the middle of the day. But the important factor here, I think, is to analyze exactly what happened in markets yesterday, and indeed across Asia and Europe today. And I think one of the better explanations is that there has been quite an intensive round of short covering. Anyone who's been short of this market has been shocked by what we saw with a 50 basis point cut yesterday. And that has caused a lot of short positions to get closed out. We saw that a number of indices had been consolidating around an area that had been a high towards the middle of the decline. And I think one of the better examples of that is the S&P. That 1500 level had been an area of resistance or in a distribution on the way down towards that low in mid-August, and it was an area of resistance on the way back up. And there are a number of indices that share that characteristic. Well, today saw most markets break upwards from those little consolidations. And while we continue to look for support at the mid-August lows, it now also gives us higher lows that we can raise our expectations for support to start coming in at if we see any kind of correction. So while we won't be able to say 100% that this market has completely finished its correction, it's almost certainly bottomed, and it really does look like we're going to see markets move upwards towards their highs. And more than likely, I don't think that they're going to race ahead from their highs, particularly those European and Western indices, although you certainly couldn't rule that out for markets such as Hong Kong. But the chances are that we're going to see a little bit more ranging coming through, where you see markets like the S&P edging back towards their July high, possibly a bit further. But personally, I would expect this to range around a little bit, mess around the high before actually reasserting its uptrend. Incidentally, the NASDAQ 100 actually hit a new high today. It's one of only a handful of markets that have actually hit new highs. Of those, I think I can list most of them. You obviously have Hong Kong and India, and of course China. But the other markets are Finland and Bulgaria, and now the NASDAQ 100. So not in a large number of markets hitting new highs, but it does look like the vast majority of them are on their way back upwards. The Irish market has probably been one of the worst performers in Europe, but it was up almost 5% today. Still not over that 8,000 level, and it really does need to pop up above that 8,000 and hold again above that area to indicate that this market has actually reached a bottom. The IBEX, which was also one of those markets which had broken down to new lows, was up over 3% today. So that is also an indication that those markets which were weakest have also found support here right now. The other important action that we're seeing here is in the government bond markets. Treasuries were down 26 points today, the 10-year down 10. The Eurobonds were down in excess of half of 1 point, and the gilts were down a third of 1 point. But what this looks like is it's a sharper reaction than we've seen throughout the course of this 2-month uptrend in government bond prices, and it could well spell the high for this rally. The question that is, I think, most outstanding is whether these prices are going to collapse right back towards their lows, or whether we're going to see them range around for a little bit and gradually make their way back down towards their lows. Given the fact that inflationary pressures haven't gone away, although CPI figures in the US were a bit weaker in here today, but given the fact that those inflationary fears are still out there, and you do have quite high oil prices and strong grain prices pushing up those inflationary figures further down the line, I think that there is a strong likelihood that these bond markets are going to find a little bit of support and range rather than collapse right back towards their lows, which will be quite good for stock markets. If we were to see surging government bond yields, which also I think is unlikely given the fact that we're going to see lower interest rates, I think probably over the next 6 to 9 months. But if we were to see surging government bond yields, then that would be a warning shot for, it would be a headwind for the equity market rally that got kicked off yesterday. And oil was also in the headlines today. It hit a new high at 82.51. Now, it closed reasonably off that high. It's at 81.85 in here, but still up on the day. And it would need a downward dynamic to offset scope for a further upside here. This is really quite a consistent move. Gold, having been extremely firm yesterday, gave up a little bit of it in here today, down just $2. But this is really looks more like a pause for breath rather than any kind of reversal in here. It would still need to fall below $700 to offset scope for further upside. And personally, I think that the high around 730 is probably only going to pose token resistance. This does look like, I think, a perfect storm for the gold price, where you have lower interest rates, a weaker dollar, but you still have those inflationary fears in the background. And there is certainly a growing fear that fiat currencies are in a little bit of trouble, particularly that dollar. And that is all very positive news for the gold price. So this has the potential, once it breaks above that high that we saw 18 months ago, this does have potential to run on the upside. Looking at some of the other industrial metals, nickel also hit headlines today. It was up 3,000 points. It's at 33,800, which is really quite an impressive move. It does now have that progression of rising lows and higher highs, which is the definition of an uptrend, and it has found support at that 25,000 level and never broke below it. So we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Now, it's impossible to say just how fast it's going to get right back up to the highs. Copper didn't have very much of a ranging pattern. Now, I certainly wouldn't rule out some further ranging in nickel, but this type of action is extremely strong, and it's very hard to argue with the potential upside here because nickel is quite cheap in here today. Lead also had a good day. It was up 95. That's well over $3,000 again, 3,235. Tin was also relatively firm. And I'm just looking at the zinc price because that had been relatively weak over the last couple of weeks, but it's at 2,984 here today, up 144 points. It does need to break back above that 3,000 level and hold on to that break. But if I were a long-term producer, or sorry, consumer of zinc in here today, I'd be looking at the price and thinking, has it got more potential to fall further? And 3,000 would be the number I'd be looking at. If it were to hold above 3,000, I would be very tempted to buy as much of it as I needed down at these levels rather than waiting for it to fall further. And I think you can say the same thing for the vast majority of the industrial metals, because there are consumers out there, such as China and India, who absolutely need to buy these metals, and they will be eager to buy them as cheap as possible. So that could help to explain some of the dynamics that we've seen in nickel, and it certainly doesn't rule out those kinds of dynamics in some of those other industrial metals which have been particularly hard hit over the next couple of weeks, provided, of course, they can hold above the those key levels that are close to the lows. The dollar was a little bit firmer in here today. The euro was down 25 ticks at 139.59, so encountering a little bit of resistance around that 140 level. The pound was significantly weaker in here today. It got as low as 199.51, but rallied back up and it's back over $2 here today. The markets are smelling rate cuts in the UK, and I think it's probably hard to argue with them. The Bank of England really do look like they've made a hash of supporting the market through this turbulent period, and they've had to widen the window over which they're willing to lend today. They've moved it out to 3 months instead of days, and that is falling very much into step with the Fed and the ECB. I wonder though, have they left it too long? And they may not have damaged the economy in the UK, but they've definitely damaged confidence. And they may be forced to lower interest rates in the coming months, and that is what's being priced into the pound dollar exchange rate in here right now. And particularly when you look at that euro pound exchange rate, the euro has surged upwards out of quite a lengthy consolidation, and it would need a downward dynamic now or some significant strength in the pound to pull it backwards, which is looking unlikely in here at the moment because we could easily see further moves towards rate cuts in the UK over the next couple of months. And a number of other currencies were also quite strong today, particular well held on to yesterday's gains, I should say, really. The Aussie dollar, the New Zealand dollar, and the Singapore dollar were all quite strong. But with that in mind, I think that's pretty much it for the evening. The grains were quite firm in here today. Corn was up marginally, soybeans was relatively flat, and wheat does appear to be holding on to its highs around 900 relatively well, although it does now need to move to a new high to reassert its uptrend. But that's pretty much it for me, and thank you very much for your time. I hope you have a great evening.